This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Muslim Chaplaincy Conversation at ORFM Dunedin.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Assalamualaikum, which means peace be with you in Arabic. My name is Arina Aizal and I'll be your host for the Muslim Chaplaincy Conversation today. In today's episode, we have an interview with Brother Hadwan Alurdi, an educator and leader with a rich background spanning technology, teaching, and school management, originally from Syria. We begin, though, with a recitation of the Quran by Sheikh Sa'ad Al-Ghamdi, Surah 5, Al-Ma'idah, the Feast, verses 8 to 9. Another reminder to not let hatred of anyone make you deviate from justice.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوه وأقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب الجحيم.
Translation of the recited verses. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. You who believe, be steadfast in your devotion to God, bearing witness to truth in all equity, and never let hatred of others lead you away from justice. But adhere to justice, for that is closer to being God-conscious. Be mindful of God. God is well aware of all you do. God has promised forgiveness and rich reward to those who have faith and do good works. Those who reject faith and deny our revelations will inhabit the blazing fire. We will now have our interview with Brother Hadwan. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hadwan.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for being here today on Muslim Chaplaincy Conversation. Would you mind introducing yourself for our listeners?
Hi. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد My name is Hadwan Alaridi I'm from Syria The city from Homs
Thank you for that introduction We're very excited to get to know you today Can you tell us about Syria and growing up there?
Syria now it's like now moving forward to be more secure and to be as a better place than before with the new leader and the new government.
Can you tell me where in Syria you grew up and about your family?
I grew up and my family in Homs. It's the middle of Syria, which is in the middle. It's between Damascus and Aleppo. And it's a biggest city as an area, the biggest area, cities in Syria. Yeah. So I grew up with, just a normal like childhood with a middle level of living with the family with the five kids and father and mother
So you have five siblings?
Yes, four boys and one girl.
Yeah. Can you tell us about your parents and what they did?
My parents were non-educated, just primary schools. But my dad, rahimahullah, his goal was to educate all his kids. So we became three engineers and two doctors.
Mashallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Mm. What was it like going to school in Syria?
It was okay and safe, but we always when we were little, The schools in Syria were like, you know, like a military. You have to follow the orders. And it was very tough, you know. And the system was like just like a military system to train the students to be, you know, ready for war or for anything happen. This is during the Assad regime. Yeah.
What kind of things were they training the students to do?
Training the students, like, you know, like training, we call it, we had a class every week called a Futuwa. Futuwa, this is a military training in the school. So, and the school uniform for secondary schools and high school were like, you know, like an army uniform, but the Askariya, the military suit. We have to, this is a uniform for the school, and just military with, you know, what do you call it, like, you know, nasheed or qasida. Like every morning we have to follow and like to recite or to read this and to be the loyalty for Assad regime and his government. Yeah.
Was it different before the Assad regime?
Yes, it was before, but I don't remember because, you know, I'm 1974, so I don't remember before Assad. But yeah, from my parents, they didn't have this, you know, this system before. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about some childhood memories in Syria that you remember from then?
Yeah, it was nice, you know, like before 1980s, I remember a few things, you know, like before, you know, the war on Hama city, when Hafez al-Assad attacked Hama. Syria was okay so far, was, you know, and the mosques. I remember the mosques. I remember how we as a kids, we go to mosque and we learn in the mosque, learn science, math, you know. And we had kutab. Kutab means like sheikh, used to teach us deen and Islamic studies and sciences, you know, like math and, yeah, science. So the life was okay until Hamas, what happened in Hamas, you know. A few, like, you know, people just try to fight against Assad, Hafez al-Assad. So he tried to, you know, attack them and kill them. So I remember, you know, from, you know, the parents and from the people, Hafez al-Assad and Rifat al-Assad, his brother, killed about 40,000 people in Hama in 1 month, you know. So it was really genocide, you know. Yeah. And the whole world was, you know, watching this, and they couldn't do anything. Yeah.
That must be a very terrifying time for you, yeah, and your family.
Yeah. And like, I remember, like, you know, in homes we had like police check, army checkpoints, and like we didn't have much, you know, conflicts in homes. But in Hama was, you know, the worst situation, yeah.
Mm. Before we talk about your education in Syria and the UK, can you tell us about your family and where they are now?
Right. My mom, my sister, and my little brother in Syria, they are staying. They didn't go out, you know. They stay in Syria and they are okay now. They're staying in Syria. My eldest brother in United States, and my brother, my older brother in UK, he's a dentist, yeah, and he has a clinic, yeah.
So, and you're here, yeah, in New Zealand.
I'm here in New Zealand, yeah.
Mm. So, talking about education in Syria, which university did you go to further your studies after high school?
Yeah, after high school, I studied primary, secondary, and high school At Homs, and then I went for I did a diploma in chemical institute, yeah, manufacturing chemical institutes, yeah, what? Applied chemical in Homs. And then I moved to Syria I moved from Syria in 1995, yeah.
Why did you choose that course?
Which one?
The study.
The study, because it was, at that time, was, you know, everyone who studied this can get a job in the government. Yeah. But I wasn't thinking about to move out of Syria. So I had a chance to, I had opportunity to go to UK. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you did your diploma in Syria and then... For the UK, what course was that?
Yeah, so I went to UK and I started my English course in City Manchester, English for English, like learning English. And I stayed about 1 year and plus, because our English was not really that good in Syria, you know. And then I have started in manufacturing engineering. So my plan was to study chemist or aviation, but I couldn't, you know, manage to get the score or the credit to go to these, you know, branches. So my supervisor just advised me to go for manufacturing engineering.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I have started manufacturing engineering 1998 and graduated 2002.
And is this at Manchester?
In Blackpool. In Blackpool and the Fyfe College, which is associated with the Lancaster University.
Why did you choose the UK?
UK, number one, my brother, you know, was there. And he encouraged me. And
was he studying there?
No, he graduated from Syria as a dentist. And then he went to, you know, to start his journey. And he got the certificate to practice as a dentist, and he's got a clinic. So he encouraged me, why not just come and, you know, just continue studying. And so I have decided to try. So alhamdulillah, I got this opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it was good experience for me.
And yeah. It's good that you had your brother with you. How long were you in the UK?
I stayed about 9 years, so until early 2004, I back to Syria, graduated from UK, worked in UK, and then I moved back to Syria. Yeah, because my mom and dad were alone there, so I have decided to stay with them. Yeah, and got married.
Mm.
Yeah.
Were you working while studying?
Yes. In the beginning, I was, working in takeaways to get some, you know, money. And, so I worked in takeaways. I worked in a few places as a part-time because I was a student. So it was a hard part, you know, working in UK. Yeah. But it was okay, yeah, to support my financial, you know, yeah. And was okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So after finishing your studies in the UK, you came back to Syria.
Yeah.
And you were there for the height of the Arab Spring.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the work that you did in Syria that you managed to study to work in your field of studies?
Yeah. Before the Arab Spring, I just got a shop lot. I bought a shop lot, and I did entrepreneur, freelancer business as IT and related to my studies as a manufacturing engineering. At that time, you know, 2000, and I'm talking about 2005, Syria was open to the world, you know, as machineries. So it was my chance to have this opportunity in Syria. So we had area called Hassia. It's on the between Homs and Damascus, It's like industrial area. So all the factories there. So I used to, like, you know, go and just programming or fixing or maintenance some machines. Yeah. And it was good. Plus, I used to teach ICDL for the city council engineers in Homs, yeah, in the computer society department. I was teaching, you know, the engineers to be practice in the computer science.
And that is before the Arab Spring?
Before the Arab Spring, yeah.
Let's go back to the UK. What were you working as after your studies in the UK?
After my study, I went for internship and I went to in the aviation. You know, I was my internship in aviation, in the air maintenance, and to how to, like, you know, checking the airplanes, how to do checklist for, you know, safeties and fixing, you know, some parts. But I wasn't, you know, responsible for anything. I was under supervisors. So I used to work with the supervisors, me and my friends. And I had a good experience with this part. And I wish to continue here to have this, you know, because I have tried in Malaysia to continue this, but in Malaysia wasn't allowed to foreigners or, you know, non-Malay people to go for certain jobs. We will talk about it later, about this point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was good, you know. I had a good experience with some systems in aviation, aircrafts, you know. You know, Airbus, different than another the system, you know. French system is different than Canadian system. Each country has a different systems. The one who made the aircrafts. In 2001, you know, we were in 2001 was, you know, they were designing the aircraft 380, you know. And we were students, and we went through these designs as, like, learners, not like as manufacturers. But was good experience. Unfortunately, now 380 is going to stop, you know, and they're not going to operate these airplanes anymore. Yeah.
Mm.
But it was a great opportunity to, yeah.
It's a good experience for you because you were passionate about that as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you've mentioned your business in Syria when you came back to work. Why did you move to Malaysia?
Right. To be honest, like, you know, we try to stay in Syria as much as we can, you know. 2015 of March 2011, the Syrian Spring, Arab Spring started. It was from Daraa, you know, the south city of Syria, southern city of Syria. And then the second city was Homs. So I was in the masjid on 15th of March, called Khalid ibn al-Walid, me and my little son. So the people just started, you know, like freedom, freedom, freedom. And, you know, the groups of, you know, police and army start to, you know, just running after the people to catch the people with no weapon. And so we tried to escape. After that, in 2000, from 2011 started, it was okay. But, you know, you don't feel this, you are safe, you know. So after that, the people, every Friday, they go and just, you know, calling to Assad to step down. And they start arresting the people, you know. They start arresting the people. So I was, you know, I say, okay. I was in Homs. We have Homs, the historic part, you know, the old buildings. That's where I came from. So I used to live there with my wife and my kids. One night, you know, I just, you know, the bomb started, you know. In the morning, we tried to, you know, to escape. And the house, you know, they just destroyed the whole, you know, area.
Was your house affected too?
Affected, yes. So we tried, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we managed to, you know, to run out to my parents' house, which is in New Home City. It's about 8 kilometers from old Home City. So, yeah. And then we stayed there a few months. They started again with the second part of Homs, you know, bombing everything, you know. So I escaped to my brother's house. Again, they bombed the area, my brother's house. I moved then to my parents-in-law house. We stayed like about 14 days with no electricity. I remember that, yeah. So most of the time we keep the kids in the bathroom, you know, because this is the safest place to stay. And no windows, nothing. But no way like to have a safe place in Syria at that time. But we try to minimize the risk as much as we can. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So I was in the area called Al-Wa'ar. So they surrounded the area and no one can go out. So I asked my wife to try to escape with my kids. So
how many kids do you have?
I have 3, 2 boys and 1 girl. So she took the kids and she tried to go to the military checkpoint. She tried, and alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, finally he accepted. He told her, you go out, you're not allowed to go back again. Yeah, she said, yeah, okay. And she left and I stayed there because not allowed for me. After a few days, I tried, you know. So, yeah, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I managed to escape.
Why weren't you allowed to leave?
All the men are not allowed to leave the area. They want to check everyone. Yeah, but alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I tried to escape. So I went to my parents-in-law house. I stayed there for 3 months. And then on September 2013, we moved to 23rd September 13, we moved to Malaysia. Yeah. Why Malaysia? Malaysia was, you know, the country no need visa for the Syrian people. They give 90 days. I didn't think about what's the next after 90 days. I say just we go for 90 days and then the situation will be better and we will go back to Syria. We didn't know like this can take a long time. Yeah. So we got the bus to Lebanon. And from Lebanon, it was, you know, the road was, you know, awful that time and not secure at all. A lot of military checkpoints, yeah. And then we reached to Lebanon borders and then to the airport. And we got a flight in Oman Air to Oman. From Oman, we went to Malaysia. So in Malaysia, we just entered for 90 days.
Before we talk about Malaysia, I wonder if you can share your view of the Assad regime. We've heard your experience, but what was your view?
To be honest, it was awful, you know. Like during the Arab Spring or the Syrian Spring, you know, from the first moments of, you know, the conflict, me and my father-in-law, rahimahullah, Dr. Munzer, he was a doctor, medicine, you know, and we were working as, you know, emergencies for casualties, like, you know, for, you know, injured people. I used to drive the car and, like, you know, he was a doctor. So we go, like, between, like, you know, the rubbles and, like, between in under the bombs, you know, the bombs just next to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we saved a lot of lives, you know, a lot of snipers on the way. Try to get some, you know, from with my little car. I used to have a Chery car, small one. We used to get the people inside the car and just... In that time, in December, was a snow, you know, and it was a freezing weather. I used to wear the gloves. And like when I go back home, I just wash my hands, you know, with the gloves. A lot of blood coming from my gloves. My wife still remember this, yeah. So, yeah, we had this and we brought a lot of medicine for, like, you know, we didn't have, that's in Homs, you know, Al Khalidiyah. They didn't have hospitals. The hospitals were in the schools or in the pavements, you know, on the ground. And we tried to get a lot of medicine and we just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us in that time, alhamdulillah. Me and my father-in-law, rahimahullah.
When you decided to move to Malaysia and bring your family with you, what did your children understand about that move?
Right. First of all, I was thinking just to move myself to Malaysia, but my wife refused. She said, no way. Like, you go, I go. You stay, I stay. Like, you go alone? No. It's a big responsibility to have kids here. And that time, you know, in December, they poisoned the water, you know, for the people. So normally we drink the water from the tap, you know. See, the Assad regime poisoned the armies, poisoned the water, so to kill as much as they can from the people. So, yeah, the kids went, you know, sick. And so my wife said, no way. You go, we go together. So we sold our car. We managed to get the tickets, the flight tickets, and we have no money at all, like, you know, nothing. And just, I say, okay, we try. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, from the beginning of the journey, we make it niyyat hijra, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make it as a hijra and escape for our religion and our, you know, children. So the kids, they didn't know, like, my oldest son was, you know, 6 years old. And no, was 10 years old. Yeah, and my daughter was 9 years old. Yeah, they didn't know. They were happy, oh, we're going holiday, like, you know. They didn't know, like, we are going one-way trip, yeah. So it was, you know, awful feeling to leave your homeland. But alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, was good, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What was it like in Malaysia when you settled in the recent months?
Right. we went to Malaysia and, like, we don't know anyone, you know. Just we went and just new adventure, and, like, we have nothing, no money. We don't feel any security. We don't have any security, or we don't have any friends to guide us, or, you know, new country, new culture, new everything, you know, new environment, you know. The weather was, you know, very tough for us, for kids. And the first, when we went to Malaysia, we got a house, you know, we rent a house, unfurnished house, and we stay on the floor, you know, the first night. Yeah, we got some, you know, luggages and get the clothes and let the kids to sleep on the clothes. Yeah, this is our first night. Wasn't that good? No, first night we rent a hotel, you know, in Kajang. Yeah. And we met a few friends. They guide us to, you know, the hotels are expensive. So better just rent a house, you know, a yearly contract. So we managed. And then we started looking for school for the kids. At that time was, that's exactly like the beginning, January 2014. And somebody mentioned there is a Libyan school opening in Damai, Kuala Lumpur. And you can go and register the kids. It's a new school. So we went to the school. We struggled to use a train and the GPS and like, yeah. So we managed to reach the school. We went to the school and, you know, they still do decorations for schools. And I say, oh, is it open, the school? They say, yeah. Just a few weeks, 2 weeks, we going to open on February. I said, okay. So I said, I want to register the kids. And we didn't think about, you know, the fees or anything. I asked about the fees, everything. And like somebody just walked through and he was the principal. So I said, oh, may I know who are you? I said, yeah, I'm Hadwan, like from Syria. We just came and like, he said, you look like educated people. I said, yeah. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a manufacturing engineer. He said, oh, can you teach computer science here? I said, yes. And your wife? I said, my wife's a civil engineer. She said, can she teach math? I said, yeah. He said, okay, you got two jobs for you.
Wow.
Wallahi, like this.
MashaAllah.
Wallahi, like this. Yeah. I said, what about the kids? He said, yeah. The rich kids, we can register them and we give you discounts.
Alhamdulillah.
Wallahi, like that. Yeah. So, inna Allah qareebun. Yeah.
It only started because you were looking for schools for your kids
for
and
the
then
kids, yeah.
And you got yourself
and,
jobs.
We entered to find, schools for the kids and we went out with two jobs for me and my wife. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yeah, it was good. Mm. Yeah.
And you get to be with your kids as well at school.
Wow. Was, you know, like, wallahi, it was, you know, a very good blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is take care of you and care of you more than your mom and dad. Yes, mm-hmm. He will take care of you. Just try to be like clear and be humble and like, you know, and like, Allahumma anni radin anka fardani. Like, you know, when you like satisfy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will satisfy you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And really so, trust that He will take care of you.
Exactly, yeah. Alhamdulillah, yeah.
So you were teaching computer science and your wife was teaching maths?
Yes.
How long were you working in that school?
Stayed for 2 academic years. Yeah. In the second year, the salary wasn't like, you know, very good. I tried to develop myself. And like, so I told the management, I was a part of management by the end, you know. But I told them I'm thinking about the international schools. I didn't know anything about international schools, you know. So they said, okay, yeah, you go and search. I went and I found opportunity for a new school, international school, for someone, you know, from USA. He's a Syrian. He was planning to establish international school. So I started with them. They were a good people. So, and they opened it called GMIS, yeah, Global Modern International School in Kajang. So, 2016. Yeah, so I have started. Yeah, I was as engineer, you know, like supervisor for the workshops to do the buildings. After this, they asked me like to teach. So I went for like teaching in computer science, the same. Yeah. And my wife got the same for math. And yeah, the English level wasn't that good. So we went, me and my wife and the kids, registered in the school, international school. And the new adventure and the new experience was started in 2016. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yeah, in Kajang, Country Heights was the school. Alhamdulillah, we have started and it was a good experience. This is the gate for me to start the journey with the Cambridge. Yeah, 2016. Yeah. So I end up with a Cambridge officer as setting up the exams and like the syllabus and like do a lot of strategies for teaching and TOT. Training of trainers, training of teachers, you know. So it was a good, great experience, you know, with the Cambridge.
Because you haven't done any teaching in Syria or UK. It's only started when you came to Malaysia.
Teaching just as I mentioned to you, like, you know, ICDL, the International Computer Driving License, you know, ICDL. And teaching when I was, you know, when I was in high school, just teaching the neighborhood, you know, the kids, like anyone wants support or anything, I just do it for little money or nothing, just, you know, I'm doing for, as, you know, charity or, you know, because most of the people were poor people and they don't have enough money. So I used to, you know, yeah, support.
And before moving to New Zealand, you founded your own educational institution, Hadwan Academy.
Yes.
So I love how this all leads to that. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Like, you know, one day, subhanAllah, like, you know, I was talking to my wife and, like, you know, just talk, you know. And that's during COVID time, because I have started 2020. I started my Hadwan Academy as online teaching, like an online YouTube channel. You know, the first video I got in 2020. It was very funny and, like, you know, on the wall and the, my face, like, you know, awful. Like, yeah, but I have started this channel 2020.
What were you teaching?
Math. Math, like, I didn't get the whiteboard as a proper whiteboard, so I got the tape, you know. So I fixed it on the wall in the room. Got the phone, and, like, you know, we didn't, COVID and quarantine and Malaysia not allowed to go out. So I have started with this, you know, horrible videos. I have started, yeah. From that videos, you know, I didn't have much in YouTube, you know, but from that video, people just start calling me, you know. Can you teach my son? Can you teach? Most of my, you know, clients are from Malaysia, like, you know, Malaysian, Indian, Chinese. I had, you know. So the first year I was, you know, Ramadan time, I said to my wife, do you know what? She said, what? I said, I wish to have my own school. She said, just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. So subhanAllah, every day I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, you know, to have my own school and to support the people, not to make money, you know. Subhanallah, the end of 2024, I used to work in Chinese school, and a Chinese old man, he has decided to move to Australia to join his kids, his son and daughter, and to migrate to his, like, Singaporean, Malaysian, you know, citizen. He came to me and he told me that, no, in the mid of 2024, he said, oh, Hadwan, what do you think, just to have the school furniture and you can, you know, start your own school? I said, what? La ilaha illallah.
Wow.
I said, no, I cannot manage. So he forced me to have this, you know, the furniture. And for free. He doesn't want anything. Just take the furniture from A to Z for free. Tables, computers, everything. He said, I'm selling the building, so just the furniture, just take it. I said, what should I do? He start looking for me for a building in Country Heights.
Where you live.
Yeah, and where I live. And that same school where, like, you know, called Genesis School, you know. So he started looking for me. He said, oh, you deserve your own school. You should have your own. Like, oh Allah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just, you know, accept my dua. So, yeah, with support from my kids, my number one, my wife, you know, we found the end of 2024, we found a building. And he was, you know, the landlord was a British guy. Yeah, it was really nice. So I just got, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put for me the right and humble, the most humble people in my way, you know, to have this project. And the teachers from the old school, from Chinese school, they said, Hadwan, where you go, we go with you. we want to stay. Because I trained, I was assistant principal in the Chinese school. I used to, teach training the teachers. I did a lot for them. Mm. Yeah. And they are really good sisters, for me. So, yeah. So I've just, we found the building. We moved the furniture. Simple. That in a few days, I got school. From where? I don't know.
MashaAllah. How big is the school? How many students did you have?
We had around 40 to 50 students. Yeah, it was good. And, wallahi, from A to Z, we have started. I don't know how. Looks like Al-Malaika or angels just carry everything for me. Just take what you want. Just ask. You want anything? Just you take. Teachers, books, everything, we managed and we opened the school. And the parents, we did open day. We have Instagram called Hadwan Academy. You can check the open day and how the smile, how the parents, because the parents were the good reason to open the school because they were, they refused to, to keep the kids away of me. And we had students, special needs students. So it was hard to leave them. And at that time, it wasn't any ideas about New Zealand. We didn't hear anything from resettlement program or anything. So we just opened the school. Yeah. So, yeah. And the parents some parents, they came for, to clean the school, to support, carrying stuff, to arrange the classrooms. And I look Ya Allah, why are you doing this to me? Ya Allah. Yeah. So, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, we finally managed to open to do the open house, and it's all recorded in the Instagram Hadwan Academy. And then we have started, and I got a very beautiful media team. Yeah, with students from Nottingham University, they were helping me. I don't know them; they don't know me. Just support. Wow. They came and just help and support. Yeah. And I had brilliant students, special needs students, I have a long journey with special needs students in Malaysia. I put, quite good number of students, special needs students in universities, and they are doing very well. So I believe on them. Always they are part of my mind all the time. Mm. Yeah. So every time when I look here, when I walk in New Zealand, I look on the road, I see any special needs, I just, look, my heart, jump, I want to say hello to them, Yeah, I just remember my
student.
Special needs student, yeah.
What was the curriculum like at your school?
We used to have, what I merged for a primary school. I used to have Singaporean syllabus. And for secondary school and high school, Cambridge, with the Singaporean, supplement to support. So when I do the foundation for kids as a Singaporean syllabus, it's the best syllabus in the world, I encourage every institute or any education centers, go for Singaporean syllabus, Singaporean syllabus always, they develop. They don't stop, So then when I have this foundation for year 6 and then they move to year 7, they found the Cambridge really easy. So I used to have one student, just I want to say hello to him. He's called Adrian. He's 15 years old. And he sat for IGCSE exam, and he's now in university. He's now 15 years old in university. So yeah, I'm very proud of him. Yeah, and reading. Try to read as much as you can. Read. Yeah. So all of this experience I got from our religion and culture, you know, which is Iqra, you know, Iqra, read. So when you read, when the kids read, you know, not use the phone, don't read from the phone, you know, read from the book, you know, read Quran, recite Quran from the Mushaf, from Quran, don't recite from the phone, you know, it's barakah. And like, you know, when you look at the Quran, Kareem, al Mushaf, you know, it's ibadah. When you look, just look at the words. But when you look at the phone, it's different, honestly. So, yeah. So, a lot of students, you know, they always saying, try to read as much as you can. Yeah.
What about the culture and religious of your school demographics?
I had Hindus, Sikh, Chinese, atheist people, you know. I had multicultural students and Muslims, Malaysian, and we used to celebrate Eid al-Adha, Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr, Hari Qurban, Hari Raya, Deepavali, Chinese New Year in the school. Each school has, you know, celebration. We used to, you know, to celebrate all the occasions, like, you know, and we do like potluck, and the parents sometimes join us. I have it all in Instagram, you know, and like, you know. So we had really good community, you know. The parents, you know, in Ramadan, I invite the parents to come for, you know, have iftar with us. I make dua, you know, and just, yeah. This is my philosophy with the community, you know. I'm Muslim, you are Christian, you are Hindu, you are, okay? Your religion, my religion. Respect you, respect me, that's it, you know. Just, we have, like, you know, like, what do you call it? Lines, we shouldn't cross it. And just, you know, no need me to believe what you believe or what. But I wish you to follow my religion, but if you don't, like, up to you, like, you know, yeah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we did, with this part, we managed, you know, like, as a Muslim foreigner person in Malaysia, it wasn't that easy, you know, to do this, yeah.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, yeah.
So you were in Malaysia for 9 years?
12 years. Yeah. To 2025, yeah, yeah.
What happened from there to now?
From there, yeah. So, yeah, before that, you know, I have tried, you know, when I was in international school in the beginning, I have tried to apply as an engineer work with the Air Asia. You know, to be like, you know, in 2016, you know, I submit my own applications or my CVs, everything, you know, to be in Air Asia as aircraft maintenance. I got all interviews, was okay, fine, you know, but by the end they rejected because they said you are a foreigner. Engineer, lawyer, doctor are not allowed to practice in Malaysia if you are a foreigner. So I respect it. And just, I found something else. I just continued teaching. And it was okay. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Then in 2025, you know, in 31st, and yeah, after when I opened the school, they called me UNHCR. Say, oh, you approved to go to New Zealand and prepare yourself to go. I'm like, what? Like, I have to leave everything and, you know. So
mixed feelings.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then on 31st of July 2025, we have arrived to New Zealand. A new adventure again. Yeah.
31st July
2025. Last year. So just 2 weeks, we'll be here 1 year now.
Brother Hadwan, thank you so much for sharing your life from Syria to Malaysia. And we have a lot more to talk about. So we'll definitely see you in the next interview, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Hadwan. Now we listen to an Islamic song in Arabic and English by Mahe Zain and Harris J entitled Never Let Me Down.
I know my Lord, He sees me. I know He sees all of the struggles that I might have. أعلم ربي يراني يرى كل الهموم التي أخفيها عن العيون. I know He hears me hurting and He can feel my pain when no one else knows. أعلم ربي يراني يرى كل الهموم التي أخفيها عن العيون. Never let me down يا ربي لا تخذلني أبدا. When I'm falling, when I'm breaking, حين أسقط وحين أنكسر. You're the only one who never let me down. أنت الوحيد الذي لن يخذلني أبدا.
حين أنكسر. You're the only one who never let me down. أنت الوحيد الذي لن يخذلني أبدا. Oh, never let me down. يا ربي لا تخذلني أبدا. أنت الرحمن الرحيم أبدا. أنت الوحيد.
But you know every tear that I cry in the dark. You see my heart is speechless and still you hold me close when everything falls apart. أحاول إخفاء ضعفي وكسري لكنك تعرف كل دمعة نسكتها في الظلام. Guide me back, don't turn away. في كل ابتلاء وكل وجع. رحمتك دائم لا
That is the end of our program today. Thank you for your time. Special thank you to ORFM for facilitating the production of this program. I should add that the views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily represent the views of Otago Muslim Chaplaincy as such. If you have any questions, please email muslimchaplaincy@otago.ac.nz. We hope to see you next time, inshallah. God willing. Assalamualaikum.
You've been listening to Muslim Chaplaincy Conversation at OARFM Dunedin.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.